Okay, Rabbi Sai, we're continuing to talk about the Isser of La Yovei Ptzua Daka Uchushovcha Bekal Hashem. And just like we started off the Gemara yesterday on the Amud Beis, we're going to continue talking about the various possible issues, medical issues, halachic issues, from someone that unfortunately has a problem with his issue, meaning with his gid down below. When is the person considered to be a kleshovcha, and when is the person considered not to be? So Gemara tells us some of you Rama Shmuel, nikev the nistam. What happens if there is a nekev? There is a hole in the person's aver, and that hole allows for the zera to drip out of the aver, as opposed to being yora kachetz, as typically zera would go. Doesn't go out from the head as you normally would expect, but there is a hole in the aver. Benistam, and that hole has now been stuffed up. In other words, it's closed, and presumably you have some skin which has formed on top of it. Says Rav Yerom Shmuel, Kol she'ilu nikri v'nikra posel. If this person, under normal circumstances, becomes a balkeri, and he emits some zera, and the force of that zera and the volume is strong enough that it causes the hole that has already begun to repair to become torn once again, possible. Then this person is considered to be a betzuadaka krishovcha, and he cannot go and marry a bas yisrael. The ilav, however, if the fact that it's nistam, the seal is strong enough that when the person becomes a balkeri, it no longer seeps out, drips out of that hole, but rather goes through the normal channels, then it's kosher, meaning that it is Baruch Hashem, the problem has been remedied, and the person is once again healthy. So Havi Barava, so when Rava heard this halacha, he asked, Heicha, exactly where are we talking about on the person's aver? Ilei melamata mi'atara, are we talking about from the atara and further downward, towards the beginning of the gid, beginning of the aver? Afilu nichras nami, we learn back in the Mishnah, even if the virtually entire atara was cut straight and the whole thing was removed, nebuch rachmanu litzlan, leaving only a kechut hasara, very, very, very thin, small amount of the atara, we said that the person is kosher, the person has no isser of tzuadaka krishof. So ibazoi, it must mean not the below the Atara, but in the Atara itself. That's where the issue lay. Why don't you say that the problem was lemala min Atara, on the aver itself? Says Rashi, because over there you don't have an asifa of the zera. If you look at the Rashi on the third line from the top, nikev, neck of cotton, small little hole, shenistam bekoshu, that got somehow sealed once again. In other words, that skins grew back and sealed up the hole. Nay nicker, and you cannot go and tell whether or not he's healed or not. You can tell whether there's still a hole or not. Royim im godul kolkach, if the hole is large enough, shem nikri ho isha zeh, if this person becomes a balkeri and he sees an emission, nikra, that hole becomes torn. And then the hole expands. Machmes doichik hazera, because the zera is pushing through. Shemis asef, the collected amount of the zera. Then that's possible, because you see that that's not an effective seal. Continue on the Rashi. Do we mean all the way at the end of the aver? It cannot be talking on the upper part of the aver, to hasan vadi le mikra. There, you wouldn't have an issue that there's a hole and it's going to open up as a result of the person becoming a balkeri. She'ein hazera doicha umis asef. The zera doesn't push through and it doesn't collect. El eitzel nekev yitziyasei. Only at the head of the aver, at the very bottom. So therefore, you cannot take this as a test and see, oh, let's see. If there's a hole higher up on the aver, let's see if it opens up if and when the person has an emission. That wouldn't be a test, because of the fact that you never have an emission starting from there. It all starts from lower down. That's where apparently the glands or the repository for the zera is found. If you're talking about lemata mi'atara, then even if the whole thing is cut off, it's not an issue. Our Mishnah said the person is kosher as long as you still have a kechut hasara. So what we're talking about is on that kechut hasara, on that atara itself, there's a hole. And now the question is, what's the status of this individual? That's what Yehuda Mishmuel said. If the hole is small enough and the stima is strong enough, that if the person becomes a balkeri, nothing drips out, nothing comes out. In other words, it remains a sealed hole, then you're okay. If unfortunately, as a result of the force of the zera coming out, it will cause the hole to open, then the person is puzzled. He has a din of a krushovka and he cannot marry kalashem. Itmar nami omra mori bar mar omra mar ukva omar shmua nike batora atzma. Oh, like Rabbi Taka said, we're talking about the Atora atzma, not lemala, not lemata, but on the Atora itself. Vinistam and it got sealed kosh ilu nikri, if the person were to have an emission. Vinikra, and as a result, the force of it causes it to open up, to tear through that hole. Awesome. Vimlav, however, if notwithstanding the force of the emission, it still remains intact, kosher, the person is okay. Shalach li Rabbi b'rei de Rabba li Rav Yosef, lamdini Rabbeinu. How can you tell? In other words, a person comes to the Rav and says, I have a medical issue. I want to know, am I allowed to go and marry a Jewish girl or not? Am I considered to be a krishovka? What is his issue? He has such a hole. Where's the hole? On the Atara. If he becomes a Balkari, then we'll have a problem. Well, how can we cause him to become a Balkari? We're now talking about when he engages in Tashmish, because that's already too late. You're not allowed to live with the person if you happen to be a krishovka. So therefore we have to induce this person to become a balkeri without living with a woman. Normally, of course, there's an issue of zera levatola. But here it's very important to know his status vis-a-vis, can he go and get married or not? So the Gemara says, Omalei maisina nahama chamima desari. What you have to do is bring warm or hot bread made out of barley, umanchin le abe pukri, and put it on his backside where a person normally goes, in other words, next to his rectum. And the heat would normally travel through the body to the point, umikri, that will cause him to become a balkeri. So if you look at the Rashi, Heichi of Dinan,
Hot barley bread.
If you see the Gemara, it says, Heichi of Dinan, 12 lines from the top, Ki osa lekamon leiruya, he comes to us and he asks us, Hey, he might seem like a day carry. How can we make him a balkeri the lechsei to do this test to see a mikra lemivdeke ulachshu, right? To see whether or not it does cut through. It doesn't cut through. A beipukri, that's neck of beisarei, that's down below by the rectum. Or machmas chamimusa, because that is so warm, hu nikri, he becomes a balkeri kach shemati. Azoy Zatrashi, that's how I heard it.
What did do that? What's it to might see?
That's what Agmar says, because this is for a positive purpose. This is not Levatola. This is to decide whether this person is allowed to get married or not. You have this, not this very same Shiloh, but you have men and women that cannot easily become, that she cannot become pregnant through a normal Tashmish. So you have nowadays.
In vitro.
So how do you get the Zera into the in vitro? The husband has to be excited and he has to be moitzi zera. That's not called moitzi zera levatola. It's for a very good purpose to be able to afterwards insert that in vitro zera into the woman. This, unfortunately, this is a problem that doesn't affect just goyim, it affects from a yin too. And so very often it is required to have that emission to be able to after that insert into the body. Obviously, anything of this nature would have to be done under the auspices of a competent rof. Anyway, but continuing on the Gemara, the Chazin Lane, then we'll see. In other words, after he becomes Balkeri, did the hole open up and break open, tear open, or not? Omer Abaye, Sabaye says, Yaakov Avinu, is everybody on the Madrig of Yaakov Avinu, Koichi Voracious, Oinish Leroa, Keri Miyavah, that he said about Reuven, that was his very first Koichi Voracious. In other words, he never ever saw Keri prior to that time. That's obviously considered to be a great madrega of tzidkus. Most of us are not on that madrega. I shouldn't say most. I'm certainly not on that madrega. And therefore the Gemara is saying, why do you have to come on to the hot barley bread? Elam abayam, a much easier way. Mavrina and kamei bigni tzavonim. Just go and take some colored clothing of a, naturally of a woman. have him pass by, look at it, and then he'll have the machshavas, and won't that lead to carry on its own? That was the suggestion of Abai. Amar Rav, Rav said, "Ata kuli alma barzilai hagilodiu." Is everybody a person who is such an osvor, such a low life, like Barzilai Hagiladi? Who's Barzilai Hagiladi? This is a biblical figure who is quoted in Shmuel Beis and had a discussion there in the Nach about his meeting with David HaMelech. Anyway, Migmora says that he said to David HaMelech, "I don't have a lot of strength left," and he lost his sense of taste and smell. What was the reason why he lost it? So Rashi brings it from another Gemara Masechta Shabbos, because Shotef Bezima Hoya, he was so involved in constantly having tashmish with women that took away his koiches of his body, and now some of his normal regular senses were now impaired to the point that he was no longer able to have any time in the food that he would go and taste. So what we're saying about Barzila Hagiladi, he was the type of person that if he would see big tzavonim, presumably that would cause him to become so excited that he'd become a Baal Keri. But your normal individual, if he passes by Chvais Macy's and he sees a dress in the window, he's not automatically going to see any mission. And so therefore, Rava said, "I don't know that this is going to work your eitz of big tzavonim." Therefore, machmar to kedushanim meikar. If we want to see him to become excited, go and put the warm barley bread. That's a real way of getting to become excited and to have an emission. Tan Rabbah, nikev basel, like we just said. Now, if there happens to be a hole in the person's aver, he's basel. Mishu shoyses. Mishu shoyses means that instead of the zera being yorek a chetz, going and coming out propelled like a chetz, like an arrow, rather it's going to go and dribble or flow, drip through that hole in the aver, and therefore he won't have zera, which is yorek hachetz. He won't be able to mazriya. He won't be able to impregnate the lady, and therefore he is within the category of the krishavcha. And this time, however, if you can go and effectively close up that hole, kosher neishu moida, because then the emission will go out the normal channels that it usually does. It will be able to go and fly, if you will, be ejected just like a chetz, like an arrow, and he'll be able to be moiled, and therefore he's kosher. This is a situation of someone who becomes temporarily possible as a krishavcha, but Baruch Hashem, there's a remedy. This is not necessarily permanent if the person can wait long enough so that there's an effective stima, an effective seal. He can, Baruch Hashem, get back to his normal, regular health and be able to impregnate his wife. Now, the expression that was used in the Braisa was v'zehu psul shechoyz lechsheira. Zeh v'mutei mai. What does this come to exclude? Oh, l'mutei krum she'olamach mitzmaka b'reya de'enoi krum. When you have a case of and the havel alfi avdolis between a person and between an animal, the animal has a maka in the reya meaning in the lungs. Anytime you go and shecht an animal, one of the things that you have to do to ascertain that the animal was not a treifa is to go blow air into the lungs to make sure that there are no holes. Now what happens if there was a hole in the lungs and there was a krum over it, what we call a sircha? Sircha means that there was a growth of the lungs to go and repair itself.
Like a scab? Yeah.
Like a scab. Oh, what a wonderful way of expressing it. Just like you have
a scab.
A scab, yeah, you did beautifully. We don't normally call it a scab in connection with the lung. In Aramaic terms, in Halachic terms, we talk about a sircha. Sircha just means that, similar to a scab, when a person has, chas v'shalom, a wound, he has a cut, what usually happens, if you just wait long enough, the skin will grow back and the flesh will grow back and he won't even be able to tell that there was a wound in the first place, as you call it, a scab. So similarly, when you have that type of scab which grows out on the outside of a lung, says our Gemara, that is not an effective stima, and therefore once you go and shecht an animal and you find such a scab on top of the lungs, then according to what our Gemara is saying is the animal is still a treif, a treifa, because had the animal continued to live, it would not have been able to continue to live for a lengthy period of time, because this scab is only a temporary fix and would not be a permanent fix, and No good. And based on this, there's a lot of halachic consequences today about sirchus, how strong the sirchus, how weak, can you pull it off, can't you pull it off? Anyway, when we get to Chulin, we'll delve into that. Unfortunately, Rabbi Cohen, Zichron Livracha, is not with us because he once gave us a demonstration. He once brought in a real live lung. It wasn't a live lung, but a real lung with a sircha on it, with a scab on it, etc.
I think he said if you just push it away and it removes and there's no break in the membrane, then it's kosher. As I remember him explaining.
Yeah, that's on a simple level. It goes much deeper in terms of how much force you have to use to remove it, and after you remove it, is there a hole underneath, or is it still considered sealed to be sealed? Okay, this is for the shochtim and for the bodkin, this is one of their major concerns. Anyway, so what he was telling us is, what the Tanna Rabbanan with the Brice is telling us is that you can have an effective scab growing out on the hole in the aver, so that the person can become, Baruch Hashem, permanently gesund, healthy once again, but you don't have that same guarantee when you're talking about the scab on the outside of a lung that got a disease, that got a hole in the animal. Talk to more about it. Now, Sholach Leir of Idi Bar Avin Le'abaye, Heichi of Dinan. Now, what does he mean by Heichi of Dinan? What can we do to help this hole so that the scab, in fact, should grow well and normally and speed up the process? In other words, just don't leave it to, quote-unquote, nature to take its course. What can we do to go and push it along? So, Kimora Maisinan Sarasa, what you do is you go and take, again, barley. Interesting that barley has such a prominent role today. You go and take the barley that grows, a kernel of barley. We don't mean the barley that you go and buy in those bags, the plastic bags that you pour into the chulin. We're talking about a natural barley which grows
a barley corn?
A barley corn on the stalk, which if you touch it incorrectly can be like a razor. The Chas V'Shalom can go and cause you a terrible cut, like a paper cut type of thing. Just like you have certain long grass or reeds, if you're not careful and you touch it the wrong end, you can get a cut. I don't know if you've ever had that, but if you have, you're on the cutting edge of these things. Anyway, so my semen saris, you go and bring such a very sharp, cutting edge type of barley corn, whom it's sartinan lay, and then you go and scratch it, or you cut it on that spot, whom my semen tarva, and then you bring schmaltz, in other words, you bring a lubricant, the shayfinan, and you smear it on that spot. With my semen shum shemana gamla, and you go and bring a rather large ant, and umenaksinan le, you take that ant and you encourage it to insert its head to go and bite into the place where that hole is in the git, and not ant.
Yeah.
Okay. If you think that I'm exaggerating, you see how Gemara we're holding Shimshon or Gamla. Keep your finger there. Go down about 6-7 lines into the Rashi, and you see Shimshimana Gamla. Do you see that? It says Nimola Gedoyla, a large ant. And Umenachsin Le Rashi says Machsin Le means, if you look at the next Rashi, Menichan Roishisham. You try to insert the head of the ant into the hole on the gid, the noishich, and cause it to bite in that spot, and now presumably the teeth of the ant, assuming an ant has teeth, I don't know, and the nidbak roishe benekev, his head gets stuck in that hole, and then a puskin leveration, and then you cut the head of the ant off, you do the surgery, and what happens is then you leave the head there, and Rashi says eventually that head will dissolve and deteriorate, as you would expect it to. And during that period of time, Baruch Hashem, the rest of the flesh and the rest of the skin will have a chance to rejuvenate, and that will go and be an effective seal. Hopefully you never have to try that. The Dav Kisarasa. And we meant very seriously the barley corn, which is nice and sharp. Ava Parzala, don't go and take Barzal. Barzal means iron, like a knife, like a scalpel that a surgeon would use, because Mizrif Zorif. What's my Mizrif Zorif? Rashi says, Oise Chabura, that might make too large a wound. Or Rashi has another pshat, Mizrif Zorif, Mala Noifach. It causes swelling. And so therefore you could have a problem of infection, presumably. So therefore, Nishgit. Vahani Mili Cotton. If you're talking about that if it was a small little hole, all of this would be a good remedy. Avogadol, if it's a large hole, Mikpule Mikpon. after you have the scab which has grown on it, you know what's going to happen? It's easily going to peel off, and it's not going to be a permanent fix. So therefore, small hole, you have hopes that you'll be able to take care of it. A large hole, you got a much bigger issue. Omer Rabba Bar Avuna, Hamapol Mayim Mishtei Mekoymes. What happens if Chas V'Sholem, the person has a hole in the, not in the Aver, let's look at the Rashi of yesterday. Rashi tells us that down below in a male Aver, you have like two pipes, if you will, or two canals, one for the emission of the Zera, and the other one for the emission of urine, of Ketana. And the wall in between these two pipes, between these two canals, is very, very thin, keklipas hashum, like the peel of a shum of an garlic. Of garlic.
Like a membrane of garlic.
Like a membrane which is as thick as a garlic. We don't mean the garlic itself, we mean just the klipa. Exactly. So if you look at the last Rashi, two lines from the bottom of the Amud Beis, Ayin Hey Amud Beis, you don't have to turn, it's here in front of you. Ayin Hey Amud Beis, the last two lines, Guvsa is Kana. Kana we're talking about is that canal. Neck of Shiroi Lohitzi Boizera Nistam. If Chas V'Sholem, the neck of that usually is where the Zera comes out, that's Nistam that becomes Fishtop, becomes clogged, exactly. But you might see Keri Derech Meiraglayim, and instead the Keri is now coming out from the other canal where the Meiraglayim, usually the urine goes, excuse me?
The urinal tract,
I'm telling you, we're talking about professionals here. The Sanya B'Bechayis, we learned in B'Chayis, Rashi Shnei Nekav Yesh Bo'odam, where there are two holes, even though from the externally we only see one hole. But inside there are two holes. Echad Moitzi Shesen, one of them is Moitzi Shesen. Shesen is another term for urine, for Meiraglayim. V'echad Moitzi Shechvazera, and the other one Shechvazera. Ubeinein, in between them, Geklipas Hashum, is a thin, thin membrane, a thin wall, which is as thin as the peel of a garlic. So getting back to our Gemara now, we have four lines before the wide lines. A person goes to the bathroom and he's able to tell, I'm not sure exactly how he's able to tell, but he's able to tell that urine is coming out from both of the tracts, both the urinary tract and the zera tract. Apostle, this person is apostle, meaning because obviously there's a hole internally and that's why the urine is coming out of the wrong tract. If you remember, this may be, in fact, what the Gemara was referring to when we had about 10 blad ago, that Rav Huna gave very long shiurim, till the point that unfortunately a few of the people became sterile as a result, Rav Sheshes among others, and therefore what happened over there was that once again the whole, the bladder apparently was so overloaded with urine that it couldn't just come out of that hole, and the person was holding it back.
Burst
that membrane, the Klippus Hashem membrane, and therefore it was now into
this
the other one.
This is all due to a shear?
The length of the shear.
But I'm saying, aren't you supposed to go? Like, if you need to go, you're supposed to go?
It's a shame that you weren't here on the day, because it was a very lengthy shear, and everybody wanted to go to the bathroom.
Right, right.
And you would have been able to...
You held them captive. You held them captive.
Exactly. Okay. Anyway. So, Hamatol Mayim Mishtei Mekoymos is possible. In other words, that wall, that membrane, unfortunately, apparently has a hole in it, and the urine is now coming out from both ends, from both sides, and that causes the person, unfortunately, to be compulsive, no longer to be able to be molded. That's that Rabbi Bar Rav Huna just said now, that because the shesen, the Meiraglayim, comes out of the other place, that means that person is written off, he's now a permanent tzuvadaka krishavcha. We don't bask in that way. In other words, apparently what Rabbi is saying is, there is a remedy for that after all. We don't pass him like bra means the son, the like Abba, not like the father. The son is Rabba Bar Rav Huna, the father obviously is Rav Huna. So we don't pass him like bra, like what we just said now from the son, Hodi Amran. Ulta Abba, who's the Abba? The Amr Rav Huna. Noshim Hamis Lolois Zu Bizu, when you have women living together as man and wife, two women living together. Unfortunately today, this is not something which is foreign to us. Years ago, when we learned the daf, we thought about this as being crazy. It's still crazy. But unfortunately, this is the lesbians, as they call them, where they are living derech tashmish, one woman with the other, even though there's no aver and all the rest. It's a nebuch. It's a dite. So what about these women? They are psulais the kohuna. by the fact that they're having these unlawful unions, they become pasul kahuna like any other women that we become would have the status of a zoina or a halala. They would not be able to marry a kohen. But fill it below the amr pani abba ala pnuya shaloi v'shem ishus aso zoina. Remember, we had earlier on in our mesechta back on Yom Tes Samach Aleph, Imor was describing what is called a zoina. We think of zoina as being a prostitute, but Imor said there are a number of definitions what a zoina could be. Reb Elazar was the one that, if you will, was the most extreme, and he says anytime you have a pani abba pnuya, a single man who lives together with a single woman. Again, the Gemara is not approving of it; quite to the contrary, Reb Elazar is saying shaloi v'shem ishus. If they are not under holy matrimony, they're just living together. Aso zoina, he makes her into a zoina. What Reb Elazar is telling us is that from that point on, even if she only had one night with one single man, she can no longer marry a kohen for the rest of her life. We don't paskin like that, Reb Elazar. But that's not for today. The point is that the Gemara is saying, even according to Reb Elazar, the psul znus is only because it was a man with a woman. Hanimili ish. Aval isha, if you have two women together, pritzusa ba'alma, it's a pritzus. In other words, it's certainly not something that should be condoned. In the Reform congregations, they should not give either of them shishi, shlishi, or mafir because of what they did.
The rabbi is transgender.
We can joke about it, but Nebuch is something to cry about. But anyway, the point is, we do not paskin like that Rav Huna. That Rav Huna said that when you have two lesbian women that are living together, they become pasul kahuna. They do not become pasul kahuna. Would we recommend that for a shidduch for a distinguished kohen? We wouldn't.
We'll go on their resume.
Exactly. We wouldn't. But the mice, it's not possible. That's what our Gemara concludes. So therefore, we don't pass in like Rabba Bar Avuna, the Gabi, the Matal Mayim, Shtein, the Koy Mais, and we did not pass in like the father, Rav Huna, the Gabi, the Stin, of the Noshim HaMasulot.
Matal Mayim, Shtein, the Koy Mais. How does one discern it's a Matal Mayim, Shtein, the Koy Mais?
That's a very good question. That's when I was with Brother Shai is asking is, how can you tell that a person is Matal Mayim, Shtein, the Koy Mais? Since presumably the two tracts are both internal, and the water or the urine that's coming out is from the front, there's only one hole, at least most Eivarim only have one hole. How could you tell that inside the Mayim is coming from two separate Makayim? So the answer is, Yechvenishka doctor, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. Presumably they have sonograms and stuff like that, I'm sorry.
If the two liquids are mixed, one is very thick, one is water.
That you can see that a thick waterly thing.
So in other words,
you're saying that the urine that comes out has within it some zera, some emission. So it's a simon that it cleaned out that tract as well. So I don't know if you heard that. We heard a very authoritative explanation from our good friend Bill Braun, who says that the urine comes out totally clean like normal urine, then presumably it comes from mokem echad. However, if it's cloudy and mixed together with another liquid, which appears to be zera, so then you know that presumably it had a detour and the urine is coming out from that second tract as well. On to the next mishnah. Zut to mishnah. Mitzudaka ukrashovcha mutorin begioris umishuchreris. Veinasurin ella milove bikal. Shnemeli yovit mitzudaka ukrashovcha bikal Hashem. What's bothering the Mishnah is, why does the Torah use this expression, Mekal Hashem? You're not allowed to marry a Betzudak is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. What's this expression, Kal Hashem? So the Gemara occasionally tells us that the Kal Hashem tells us Kal Hashem for loy Kahal Gerim, that Kahal Gerim loy Ikri Kahal. A Ger, of course, is very beloved. The Torah says numerous times you have to miss a Ger who has joined the ranks of Klal Yisrael, is a full-fledged member of the Jewish faith, and we love them and they're great. However, there are tiny details with their, if you will, exceptions to the rule. And that is, although a tzedakah, krishovcha, is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl, he would be able to go and marry a geyoris, or a shivcha mishuchreris, which is basically also a geyoris. Why? Because the Torah says Kahal Hashem. And Kahal Hashem means those that were born into Kahal Hashem, as opposed to those that joined Kahal Hashem subsequently. That's what the Gemara calls an expression, Kahal Geirim Loi Ikri Kol, their own Kahal, very distinguished Kahal, but they're not the same as Kahal Hashem, and so therefore, a Psudak and Krishovka could marry a Geiris and Mishukhreris. We'll see in the Gemara, it's not so simple. But that's what the Mishnah says. So ask the Gemara now, Ishai, the boy Mene Merav Sheshes, but to attack a koyin, mal be gioris umishachraris. Now we're not talking, let's take one step at a time. The Gemara is assuming that a koyin is not allowed to marry a gioris mishachraris. There could be a couple of reasons, but the main reason which is given by the Mefarshim is because there is an assumption or a presumption that the gioris umishachraris lived already with a goy, and therefore that was, if you will, a form of znus, and therefore she has a status of a zoyna. If she's a zoyna, she can't go and marry a kohen, because a kohen is not allowed to marry isha zoyna v'chalol le'yikachu v'isha grusha v'isha le'yikachu ki kodeshu le'yikachu. The kohen, being on such a high spiritual level, is not allowed to go and marry a zoyna. And the gioris mishachraris is given the assumption that she is a zoyna. Now, the question is, what happens if that koyin is also a betzua daka? Betzua daka means that he cannot be molid. Now, the question is, do you say that he is still considered to be a full-fledged koyin, v'oser, and therefore he's not allowed to marry a gyurz mishacharis like any other koyin? Or do we say, that he's lost his kedusha of kunam? Not so much that he's lost his kedusha of kunam, but because of betzua daka, he has lost his status of a person that's allowed to get married in the first place. A tzuadaka is not allowed to come b'kal Hashem. And therefore, if he's a tzuadaka, he's a koyin, maybe he is allowed to go and marry gyoris mishacharis, just like we said that a regular tzuadaka, krishovcha, is allowed to marry gyoris mishacharis. Yeah, but he's a koyin. Maybe he loses his status of elite kahuna by the fact that he's a tzuadaka, that normally he wouldn't be able to marry a regular Bas Yisrael. So obviously he has been lowered from his very high status, so maybe that lowering, his diminishing of status, is such that he's allowed to marry Geris Mishachars. That's the shalat that he asked Rav Sheshes. Omelet of Sheshes to Nisua, I'll bring you a raya. But Tzuadaka Yisrael, it's a braisa. Tzuadaka Yisrael, Mutter ben Asina is allowed to go and marry a Nasina. A Nasina was one of those, the Gemara tells us, was originally one of the Givoinim. Givoinim were among those that lived in Eretz Yisrael prior to the coming of Yeshua ben Nun. They heard about the fact that Klal Yisrael was supposed to eliminate, destroy all of the Shiva Amamim in Eretz Yisrael, and so therefore they made a subterfuge. They went and camouflaged themselves with elaborate costumes to show as if they had traveled from a far-off place. So they came and they met with Yehoshua ben Nun, and you have a repetition of the story later on by David HaMelech, and they went and they acted as if they just came from Australia by foot, and they've been traveling now for the last 3 years, and all of their clothing is tattered and worn, and they look like, and they wanted to make a treaty with Klal Yisrael. Why not? They want to make a treaty, that's fine. Only subsequently did they find after the treaty that, unfortunately, that they were, Klal Yisrael was deceived and duped by these people that were really from the Shiva Amamim. Ultimately, because they had already made a bris with them, they didn't want to go and violate or renege on their bris. Instead, David HaMelech, since Yeshua ben Nun, Nosnam, he gave them the very menial status of doing menial chores, which were Choytvei Eitzim and She'avi Moim, woodchoppers and water drawers, which apparently was considered to be, you know, very, very low level in terms of blue collar work, which was not a distinguished profession at the time. That being the case, they got that name Nesina because they were Nosnu. They were placed in that position, Nosnu l'Sheavi Eitzim, the Choytvei Eitzim l'Sheavi Moim. Okay, but the Gemara considers them to be Goyim. And now the question is, can a Betzua Daki Yisrael marry such a Nesina? And the answer is, yes. Now, how can he go and marry the Nesina? If you're going to go and tell me that the Yisrael, we're not talking about a Koyin now, we're talking about a Yisrael, the Betzua Daka, retains his status of Kedusha. The Torah says that you're not allowed to marry any of the Shiva Amamim. How is this Betzua Daka Yisrael marrying a Shiva Amamim? It must be because of the Betzua Daka. His status of Yisrael has unfortunately been highly diluted. He's not on the same high spiritual level as he was before. So logically, you would say the same thing regarding the Betzua Daka Koyin, that he's not on that same high spiritual level, and therefore he's allowed to go and marry the Gioris Umishukhras. This is what Rav Sheshes wanted to go and be poishit from that rice. Omer Rava, so Rava asked him, Otu Hosam Yishit Kedusha V'Lav Kedushu, is the reason for that price of the Tzudaki Yisrael is allowed to marry the Messina is because he has a lesser degree and level of Kedusha. Dilma Moilid Ben V'Ozel Polach L'Avoidis Kechavim Hu. The reason for that Pasuk is Chatan Bam. The Pasuk itself says, because Bincha L'Sitan L'Vnoi and Bitcha L'Sitan and his, don't take his son for your daughter, don't give your son for his daughter. And the reason is because we're concerned about intermarriage. And the major intermarriage is that, unfortunately, a Jewish child will be born to a Jewish girl and this goy. And then that goy is going to go and take that Jewish child to mass and is going to go and cause him to become a goy. Aha. That's the inyan leisis chatan bam, because of that potential of taking a Jewish child off the derech to avodah zarah. Zok Gemara, v'hani mili bin yoisin oivdei chachavim. That pasuk is talking about when the goy who married the Jewish girl remained a goy, and he never converted, he was never megayir. That's why he says, don't allow for it. Ki megayiri, however, if and when he is megayir, here it says b'Yisrael, on the side it says, mishra shoru. At that point it should be mutter, because the whole iser is only that the goy is going to take this Jewish child and make him into a goy and to do avodah zarah. If he converted, and we're assuming, of course, a bona fide conversion, then there's no concern any longer. So what would be the iser now in marrying the Nesina? Rabbanu de Gazer Behu, the Chachamim were goyzer because of the status of these Nesinas, that they duped us and they deceived us, and maybe their whole geiris is a deception. And so therefore they said, don't allow for marrying the Nesina. When were the Chachamim goyzer? Behanach the Bnei Oludi. Only those that can go be moiled can have children. Because if they can have children and they're going to marry the Nesina, what might happen is afterwards that child may be taken away for avodah zarah. Avol hai dela bar iludi. But this tzuadaka that cannot have a child, I don't have to worry about that this child will be brought into avodah zarah, because it won't be a child, because he can't have children. So like Gozer Rabbanon, so Rabbanon were not Gozer. So therefore it has nothing to do with Kedusha and Lav Kedusha. It has to do with the fact that we're not talking about Dioraisis. We're talking about a Drabbanon of Gzeira. And that Gzeira is not Shaykh if a person's not going to have a child. So you don't have to worry about children being misled to do Avodah Zarah. That of course doesn't apply to a Daka Koyin, where we are concerned about his Kedusha as a Koyin. Can he marry a Giyoris or Meshachreris? Yes or no? Is he Bikdushasi Koi or not? Zokti Mora Elameyata, based on what you're telling me, Mamzer Debar Ulude, a Mamzer who is able to have a child, notwithstanding the fact that he's a Mamzer, but he's physically able to have a child. Hokanami de Osir, are you going to tell me that a Mamzer is not allowed to go and marry a Messina? But tonight we learned in the Mishnah and the Mesechtes Kedushin, where it goes through the Asura Yochsin, it says over there, Mamzerin, Unesinim mutarim lavayzebezem. Mamzer Nesin is allowed to go and marry one another. Why over here? Why weren't we goyzer? After all, the mamzer can have a child. Ella says Imar ki goyzer abonon biksheirim v'psulim legoyzer abonon. It's the same shot again, but not that they were goyzer only on bnei iludi and not labar iludi, but they were only goyzer by ksheirim and not by psulim. Why weren't they goyzer by psulim? Says Rashi, because it's the dover shloi shchiach, that a mamzer or a tzuadaka is going to fall in love with a noson or nesina and marry them, a nesina, and go and marry them. So therefore, it's such a vital thing. This is so remote, the chachamim did not feel that they have to be goyzer. Anyway, but bottom line is, what is Rava saying? This is nothing to do with Rav Sheshish Shaila, because this is not talking about deiraisa, they retained their status of Kedusha. They didn't retain their status of Kedusha, but rather it has to do with the Gzeira Drabbanon, whether or not we were Machmir when we made the Gzeira, don't marry Nesinois. Well, Misha refers to Nesinim, don't marry them. Why? Because the Gzeira, that the conversion was not legit, and therefore they're going to mislead the children and have them cause to do Avodah Zarah. And by Psalm, they weren't guys. So we're back to square one. What's the halach over here? After Rava went through this shak levataria, Rava had a change of heart. He said, "La milzehi, the amri. That I said until now, that was really incorrect. I've thought it through. the pshat in the pasuk lischatin ba, the way Rav interpreted it until now was a goy from the Shiva Amamim living or marrying a Jewish girl. That's awesome in Torah. Here we're talking about if the goy from Eretz Yisrael converted, what's the halacha? So Rav said until now there's no din lischatin ba, and you would be allowed to go and marry min haTorah. It's midrabanan. The chachamim were goyzer. So says now, says Rav, I changed my mind.
The goyzer, gozer what?
Goyzer, that they shouldn't be able to marry.
Meaning, but if a goy converts, then
he's from the seven people.
That's a regular goy. Here we're talking about goyim from Eretz Yisrael.
Seven Canaanite nations.
The seven Canaanite nations. Wow, I never heard Canaanite. Yeah, exactly. The seven nations in Eretz Canaan. At the time that Yeshua ben Nun entered Eretz Yisrael. So those, it says in the Torah, that v'yisachaya kol neshama, you shouldn't allow anybody to continue to live.
The children and of a mamzer are forbidden to come into Klal Yisrael forever, is it?
A child of a mamzer is he himself or herself also a mamzer or mamzeres, and they're not allowed to marry a Jewish person.
And their grandchildren and everybody.
And their great-great-grandchildren.
That's why they let the mamzer marry the nesinas, because they're not...
So they should have at least some outlet, somebody be able to go marry. And that's why they weren't goyzer. Could very well be. To give some opportunity
Jewish,
to get married.
They're not taking a Jewish kid to become a goy.
Exactly.
So members of the seven Canaanite nations don't have the option, okay, we'll accept the Jews being ruling this, and meaning like waving the white flag or accepting the... So they're killed in any circumstance?
That's my understanding.
Okay. That's listen
from the Torah.
Our Gemara is saying over here that even if they're Megaya, we can't go marry them. Okay, that's our Gemara. Rashi maybe is going with a Medrash, with a Tartus Kahanim, maybe with another Gemara. For purposes of today's Gemara, our Gemara says that you're not allowed to marry them ever, even if they are Megaya. So when we talk about, as you said, the seven Canaanite nations, we're not talking about converts in general. Of course you can marry a convert.
Rashi is talking not about marriage, he's talking about the
Aha, okay.
Right.
Fine.
Right.
Good.
You're talking about houses.
Good. So, if that is the halacha, I stand corrected. By all means, we should have them all. Look at how many we got today in Eretz Yisrael. So we had from them. Anyway, but these are not the same Canaanites, I understand. Let's not go into politics.
Yes.
Amalek. Amalek, or Esav, or Yishmael, all the wonderful nations of the world. Anyway, so let's get back to Agamar. Hoda Amar Rav Ala Milzi Da'ami. That I said earlier. That pasuk is referring to not marrying them when they are still goyim. That cannot be. Then you can't even talk about being mischating. Don't marry them. Marriage doesn't exist. It's not toifas kedushin if you're talking about an eved or an eved kechavim. Nizgairu islul chasnis. Only if they convert, then there is the possibility of marriage. And at that time, they says, but don't marry them. Don't marry them after all. Oh, so does Dr. Zigimara, says Rava, the pshat that I tried to give until now, I withdraw. Takaloises chatin bam is an iser even after they are megayer. And nevertheless, it says that a Ptsuadaki Yisrael is allowed to marry them after they're megayer, even though the Torah says loises chatin bam, which applies even after they're megayer, is a haraya that in fact their kedusha is diminished. That's why Tzedaki Yisrael is allowed to go marry them after all. So, just like it's diminished by Yisrael, the assumption is it's also diminished by a Kohen, and therefore Tzedaki Kohen would be able to go marry a Gioris and Mishuchers. Maser v'Yosef, not so fast. You're telling me that the Indian of Chasnus is only applicable if you're talking about a Ger or Gioris, not if they're still a Goy or a Goita. We find the pasuk in Malachim, "V'yischatin Shloima as bas pari melech Mitzrayim," that Shloima did in fact was mischatin with bas pari, and the Gemara assumes at this point that bas pari was not megayeres; she remained a goiter. And the Torah uses the expression "V'yischatin" that there is chasanis. Also, you see that there is this inyan of chasana, even if you're talking about a goy or a goiter. And that being the case, Rava didn't have to go and change his mind. He could have said that the Lischatin Bam is talking about Taka when you're marrying a non-Jew who has not been Megayev, just like Bas Paroi. yet Rava did change his mind, and he said that chasnas is only shayach, because tfisas kedushin is only shayach if you're talking about a person that has converted. And for the Gemara, Giri Gaira, and a Harami, Baspara, he was Mikayeres. And so therefore, we're not talking about that she remained a goit at the time of the Chasana. She had already converted. Faith the Gemara, well, the Kibla Gemla, we made up with the Mishlaima. We're talking about Shlomo Melech. And we have a famous rule that in times of David Melech and Shlomo Melech, they didn't accept Gairim. So how could Baspara go and be Megayeres? Everyone, Midi Utaima, El Shulchan Melachim. What's the reason why they didn't accept Gairim at that time? Because we were concerned that none of those Gairim were really sincere. The only reason why they joined is because they saw that Klal Yisrael was at the height of power, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, so therefore they wanted to share in that power and in the wealth. So they had their minds on ulterior motives. That's why they didn't accept any Gairim. So the Gemara, this Bas Paroi, she had, Baruch Hashem, plenty of wealth from her family. After all, she was the daughter of Paroi, and Paroi had his own Egyptian treasuries full of gold and silver and money. So therefore, we did not need to go and incentivize or disincentivize her, and we were allowed her to be Megayeris after all. So Frey Dimara, okay, Mazel Tov, she was Megaya, but I still have another problem, because as you know, a Jew is not allowed to go and marry a Mitzris, at least not for the first two generations. Third generation, but the first two generations, it's awesome. So how was Shlomo Melech saying that there was chitun, there was chasnas? She's a mitzvah rishoina. Maybe you're going to go and tell me the mitzvah at the time of Shlomo Melech, those weren't the old mitzvah from yesteryear, but rather those that are already Azliyal. Azliyal means that they already passed away. How did they pass away? Says Rashi, Mesu v'tovu b'mei pare. Either they were killed as a result of the first 9 makas, or they sunk into the water during the 10th makkah, or I should say, after the makas b'chodesh, when they came to the Yamsuf, and then all the Mitzrayim fell in, and that was the end of them. So that being the case, those were the Mitzrayim that the Torah says don't marry. See, one second, if they all died, then why would the Torah say, don't marry a Mitzri? They don't exist. They all died in the Kriyas Yamsuf. So Rashi says that these are the Erev Rav. These are people that were the
mixed
Tzukicham.
Multitudes.
The mixed multitudes.
They already joined the Bnei Israel when they see us Mitzrayim.
Exactly. But they were not sunk because they were not the Mitzrayim themselves. These were just the tagalongs. They mixed multitudes, as Ariel expresses it so beautifully.
The
Mitch lepers, exactly. So those Mitch lepers, those are called the nouveau Mitzrayim, and that's what the Torah is referring to when it says he now let it go and marry Mitzrayim.
Converted by Moses during the Exodus,
yeah, exactly.
So aren't they considered Jews if they were converted?
We're not done yet. The point is, the Torah says in Parshas Kiseitzeh that you're not allowed to go and marry a Mitzri Rishoina or a Mitzri Shnia. Only Bana Meshivot Lehem Dor Shlishi allowed to go and marry. Now, we're not talking about whether they're allowed to be Megayer. They can be Megayer. They can become Gerim. And when they become Gerim, they can get an Aliyah. And you can be Mitzar of them to a minion. And they are Jewish. But you can't go and marry them. Just like if you have a Jewish Mamzer, who is a Jew for all purposes, but you can't marry. So you can't marry Mitzvah Shoshana either. So even though Baspari was Megayer, it's Mazel Tov. But nevertheless, how could Shlomo Melech go and marry her? She's a Mitzvah Shoshana. Maybe you're going to tell me the Basparoi is from a new generation of new Mitzrayim that were unrelated in any way, shape, or form to those that sunk into the Yamsuf and to the Erev Rav, Mitch lepers. I thought you were in the Braisa Omer Yehuda. Min Yamin Ger Mitzri Hoyeli Chaber Mitalmidei Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yehuda remembers the good old days when he was learning in the yeshiva of Rabbi Kiva, and one of his chaverim was Min Yamin, who was a Ger Mitzri. And Min Yamin Ger Mitzri said about himself, Omar, Ani Mitzri Rishoin, Venasasi Mitzri Rishoina. I happen to be a first generation Mitzri, and I made sure to go and marry a first generation Mitzri Rishoina. Osi Lebni Mitzri Shnia, Mitzri Shem, we're going to have a son. Maybe they had a son already, and I'm going to go and be mishadach him with a second generation mitzvahs. Kidei shehei ben bini, so that my einikol will ruvi lovu bekol, because that'll already be the bottom ashivot lehem dar shlishi. So you see that even the times of Rabbi Yehuda, this is much, much later than Shlomo Melech. This is the time of Chazal, this is the time of the Tanoim. And he's saying, Don't worry, I'm taking care of the Mitzri issue by making sure Rishon Rishayna, Shaini Shniya, so that the third generation. What are you talking about? Didn't you just say that Hanach Azli the Alma? So it shows you know that you still have Mitzriim, at least as of the time of our Gemara, and therefore certainly as the times of Shlomo Melech. So how is Shlomo Melech able to go and marry her? And you say Chasnis? Amra Papa, Anan Mishleim Aleichem Anasiv. You're trying to go and bring a raya from Shlomo Melech and ask kashas from Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Anasiv Midi. Shlomo didn't marry her. The Chassid says in the pasuk, "And I go in Hashem, Hashem al Bnei Yisrael Yisavu behem, vehem lo yavu bechem. Ochin yatu es levavchem achrei Eloiheihem." Don't make sure not to go and get too close to the goyim in your midst, because if you do, they'll be mata es levav. They're going to cause your heart to go astray after their gods. Unfortunately, Bahem, in them, Dovak Shlomo Lahava, Shlomo Melech did love some of the women from those goyim, including the Baspare. And therefore, what Agamar is telling us is that Shlomo Melech didn't take her for a wife, but just took her for love purposes.
Or concubine?
I guess so. Look at Rashi. Five or six lines into the narrow lines. Dovak Shlomo li ahava v'loy li ishus. He didn't take her as a wife. He took her as a consort, or whatever nice term you want to use, because she was very appealing in his. No, it's not great at all.
So, Freitag.
Oh, dusing moris kasha elakasha by yischatin says on the Omer Aleph that there was a chasana. Sounds like they did get married. So the more betecha havi yaseder she'ava. The truth of the matter is he never married her. But because he had such an intense desire and love for her, the Torah gives it the name of Chasanis when it really is not the real title of what occurred.
Well, was he living with her as if she was his wife? A maiden yavin?
Ainli Asik bin Astaris. I don't know what's going on behind closed doors. I just know what our Gemara tells us. The Gemara said he had a tremendous desire for her, and the Torah calls that as if it's Vayischatim. And therefore, none of that is relevant to what we're talking about over here, because we're trying to bring a raya from Vayischatim, but there was no chasana, so to speak, by Shlomo Melech and this Basparai, so none of this is relevant to our question of whether a Yisrael Ptsuadaka or a Koyim Ptsuadaka retains its Kedusha or not.
Amli Rabbeinu Lervashi. What happened with our terrorists of the Arab Rab? To say that that prohibition of marrying the Mitzri is referring to the Aram that came along.
And only them and not later generations. The Gemara discarded that or challenged that or dispensed with that based on a real life story that Rabbi Yehuda told about his good friend Minyamin, who himself was a Ger Mitzri, and he was careful about that his Einiklach should all be Motel Lover Bekol. Muzach Zayin, that they had the status of bona fide Mitzri. No problem. Yes?
I'm sorry, the story that we just brought up, but didn't this come after, let's say, Sancheirib that mixed up the nation? So
Sancheirib was later.
Much later than
With Minyamin, so meaning how can
so we... So now you can make a Kal v'chomer. That we're talking about after Sancheirib, and still this Minyamin said, I spoke to all the chief rabbis and they told me, make sure, Mitzri Rishayna, Mitzri Shayna. So you see that he apparently still had his Yichas brief, he still had his genealogy from he checked it out online, went all the way back to. So exactly, or whatever he used to be able to figure it out. So Madach, he considered himself to be, then certainly those before Sancheirib, certainly, etc. Good. Amir Vil Ravashi, Vuanan Tanan, didn't we learn in our Mishnah? So in other words, we're going back to our original Shaila now, and we want to be poshut from our Mishnah. What was the original Shaila? If you have a Tzuadaka Koyin, can he marry a Gioris Mishachrarus? In our Mishnah it says that a Yisrael who's a Tzuadaka is allowed to marry a Gioris Mishachrarus. So Ktimar, Banan Tanan, Tzuadaka, Ukrishavchem, Mutarim, Gioris Mishachrarus. Izach Mashva, Habinesina, Asiri. What happens if that Krishovcha wanted to go marry a Nesina, it would be awesome. Let me ask you a question. In the Mishnah it says that the only time the Krishovcha or the Tzodak is also Lovi Bekol, Hab Nesina Shari, but to go marry a Nesina is Mutter. So in other words, you're trying to bring a Raya from the Reisha in one direction, but I can bring a Raya from the Sefer from the other direction. And therefore, you have no raya from our Mishnah. Then why did we want to bring a raya from a Mishnah Gabi Nesina? After all, we're talking about the koyin, whether he's allowed to go and marry, Kiyaris Mishachraris. So if you look at the last Rashi right before the Mishnah, Gzumtai, you're welcome. Ha Ben Nesina, let's go back to one Rashi before. It says in the Mishnah, Kiyaris Mishachraris, in that the Ptuadak is allowed to marry Kiyaris Mishachraris, the Israel, Kosher, Nami, Sharia, that he is allowed to marry the Kiyaris Mishachraris. Ha Ben Esina also ki Yisrael ma'aliyah, just like a regular normal Yisrael, the B'gishrasi koi that remains in his Kedusha. Remember that we said, for instance, on the Yomad Aleph, that a mamzer anasin amatar and love izeh bezeh. Well, here we're being medayik that a Yisrael, who's a Ptuadaka, he's not allowed to go marry an Esina. Why is he not allowed to marry Esina? Because apparently, even though he's a Ptuadaka, he still remains a full-fledged Yid with all the Kedusha of the Yisrael. Ah, so then say the Kohen, that he retains all the Kedusha of a Kohen, and therefore he would not be able to go and marry Gyaris Mishacharis, even though he became a Betuadaka, says the Gemara. The Reish's Rayu Diuk, it was a very good Diuk, but we can make a similar Diuk in the other direction from the Sefer, and so therefore we have no conclusive Raya either way from the Mishnah, and therefore our Shaila remains an Iboyud Le'ifshito, which we have not been pushed. A new Mishnah. Mishnah in general terms is fairly familiar to all of us. Amoini mo'ovi asurim, b'isurim is oilam, says in the Pasuk, le'yovi amoini mi'avi b'kal Hashem, a Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze, and that Isser remains Isser oilam. The Pasuk, in fact, continues on, afilu doir asiri le'yovi lehem b'kal Hashem, even the 10th generation, in other words, even 1,000 generations, Osir, Osir forever. But that's only on the menfolk. Avnik v'yseyem, the ladies, the Amoinis and Miyavis Mutaris, they are allowed to go marry Miyat. You don't have to wait one generation, two generations. They can marry a real bona fide Amoinis Miyavis is allowed to go and join Kaisum. How do I know? Where do I know this from? We'll see in the Gemara. Mitzvah doimi in a masurum ela adshleisha doiris. That says Mefeish in the Torah. Bona fide Shivot Lehem Dorishlishi, Yovelim Bekal Hashem. Echad Zachar Bechad Nekevis, when it comes to Mitzvah doimi, there's no distinction between males and females. First two generations, Osir, third generation and further is Mutter. Like we just had with Minyamin, the Ger Mitzvah. Reb Shimon Matzis Nekevis Miyad, Reb Shimon says, no, just like by the Amoini Umayavi, the Nekevis Amutter, first generation, same thing is with the ladies from the Mitzriim and from the Adoimim, also Mutter immediately. And Reb Shimon says, Ava Kavachim, Ava Reb Shimon, Kavachim, Advar. We see by the case of the Amoini Miyavi, where the Issa there is forever, forever and ever, they're not allowed to go and join Klai Yisrael. However, the answer for Nekevis is immediately first generation. The Mitzvah Doim, where the Isser is much lighter, it's only a two-generation Isser. By the third generation, they're mutter. And the Din Shanatas and the Kavis Miyan Navad and the Kavis will be mutter immediately. Amrulai. So the other Chacham said back to the Pshimon, with great respect, Im Halacha Mekabel. Rashi says, Halacha, if you Mekabel this as a Mesoida from your Rebbes and from your previous generations, we're not going to go and argue the case. However, in Ledin, if this is your own Kal V'chayim that you put together on your own, yesh tshuva, then there are answers to your Kal V'chayim. Our Mishnah doesn't tell us what the answers are. Mi'at Shem, the Gemara will give us answers, pirchas, on the Kal V'chayim. Omelem, he said to them, loy ki halacha ani oimer, I'm telling you halacha. So, Zut Rashi, the last Rashi before the Gemara, loki afilu ani don me atzmi, even if this was on my own, ein lechem tshuva, your pirchas are nothing. Kiddum Farish be Gemara. Mitchell will see the dialogue in the Gemara, where the Gemara is going to go back and forth. It's going to be tomorrow's daf. What they said, what he said. Whether you like my answers, you don't like my answers, that doesn't make a difference. Halacha ni oimer, I have a Kabbalah for my Rebbe's and Masoira, and that's it, and therefore, don't argue with me. We're going to learn more about that tomorrow. Anyway, we get back to the beginning of our Mishnah, where we say, only the male Amoinis and not the females. Frank, the woman, immediately, where do you take this from? When Shaul eyed David HaMelech going against Goliath, Omar el Avner Saratobi asked Avner, who was his chief commander, the chief general, Ben Mize Hanar, Avner. Tell me, Avner, who is this guy this Dovid fellow that's going against the police, against Kolias. The Yom Avner, and Avner answered him, Chai Nafshcha Melechim Yedati. I don't know, I swear in the nefesh of the Melech, if I know. Freytimara, I don't understand what you're talking about. V'layodalei, Shaul didn't recognize David, but it's v'yevod ma'od, v'hi loy noise kalim. That in fact, David Melech was kind of the Shaul's, originally, before of course they had the Melchama, but originally he was his right-hand man, he was his noise kalim. He knew him very well. What is he asking? Abner, who's that guy? El avuaka mashalei, komashal. Apparently what he was asking about the father, because after all, look at the Lashon of the Pasuk. He asked Avner, Ben mi zehana. I know this is David. Who is David's father? That's what he was asking about. He didn't know who his father was. Vo'ish bimei Shaul, we're referring to Yishai, Zokein bo banoshim. He was already elderly, and he was bo banoshim. What it means, bo banoshim? The Omer Rav, he say, Merav Abba, ze Yishai, Abi David, shenichlas bo chloisa, v'yotze bo chloisa. When he would go and travel, go outside, in the open, he didn't just go on his own. He didn't even just go with one or two gaboyim. He went by achloisa. To give you an idea of how much, achloisa means with a large population. How much population are we talking about? Rashi says, sar al samach riboy. When he would travel, he had 600,000 people traveling together with him. A lot of people. And therefore, what the Gemara is trying to tell us is, everybody knew Yishai. Yishai had a huge following. So again, what is Shaul asking? Who is David or who's David's father? Hakin Kol Mashal. What Shaul was really asking is the following. Go back a few generations. Imi Peretz Asi, Imi Zerach Asi. Does he come from Peretz or Zerach? As you know, Peretz and Zerach were the two twins born to Tamar, and from there eventually came out David HaMelech. And he wants to know, was David an Enikel of Peretz or Zerach? You can ask what difference does it make. Imi Peretz Asi, Malka Habe. Then that's a simon he's going to be a melech. Shemelech poirates lasses derech vein mamchem biyode. The melech has so much power; he has the ultimate power.
Eminent domain.
Eminent domain. If he wants to go and destroy entire communities to go and build super highways, no problem. He can be moichem. Therefore, I'm afraid this David who's going against Goliath, if he's an enikol of Zerach of Peretz, my melucha is all over. Im zerach asi, however, he comes from Zerach. Chashiv Baal Mahav, he's going to go and be, if you will, Zerach, he's going to be shining, he's going to be a shining light and brilliant, he'll be very Choshev, but he's not going to become the Melech. My Taima, Omale, Sha'alale, why was Shaul concerned that he even raised the issue with Avner, find out about this fellow's genealogy? Tachsiv, Vayalbe Shaul es David Madov, Kimi Dosai. It says about David HaMelech, that Shaul put some of his royal clothing on David HaMelech, and it measured him to the inch, perfectly. Uksiv Beit, but doesn't it say about Shaul? Shaul, Meshich Malach Gavoy Mikolam. He was a towering figure, both spiritually as well as physically. He must have been a 7-footer or 8-footer. Apparently, David HaMelech was not. And therefore, Shaul was shocked to see that when David put on Shaul's clothing, it fit him to the T. Unbelievable. Anyway, so that's why he was asking Avner, check out his yichus to see whether or not he's potentially my successor. That means my days as melech are numbered. Omli Doigedomi was there, and he said, Acha Tomashal, all of them, Hogan Hula Malchus. You're asking whether or not he comes from Zerach, from Peretz. Ask whether or not Imlav, Shal Olavim Roy Lava Bekal Imlav. I don't even know if he's Roy to go and join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. My time, the Kasi Marissa Medea. He's the Khan Ainikal for Rusa Medea, and he's the Kham Medea, and Teresa of the Yavi Amin Miyavi Kalashem. Amelie Avner, so Avner told him to Nina, you forgot a Bryce. Well, the Bryce says, Amin Ivle Amin is Miyavi Vilo Miyavis. That this halacha of Amin Miyavi only applies to the men folk, not to the lady folk. So even though David Melech's roots come from Rusa Medea, doesn't matter. Amin Miyavis is allowed to join Klal Yisrael. Frank Timur El Mayati going to go and tell me when it says Amoini and Moyavi, it means Amoini Vile Amoinis. So maybe say the same thing by Mamzer. That's a similar pasuk there in the same parasha of Kiseitse. Le Yavam Mamzer Bekalash. Are you going to say Mamzer Vile Mamzeres? Says he might not. That's different because Mamzer Ksiv Mumzar. So what means Mumzar? So if you look at the last Rashi, Kol Shiesh by Mumzaris. Anybody that has that type of strange blemish in his spiritual neshama by having been the product Nebuch of an Isur. So that or according to Rabbi Kiva, that's a mum's zar, and the mum's zar doesn't make a difference whether it's a male or female. A mum is a mum is a mum. Frank Gemara, but it says mitzri, you're going to dash it over there, mitzri, for like mitzri is. So Gemara, shani hachan mefarish time in the crowd. I'll tell you why it's a moini and mayavi and not a moini. It's mayavi. It's considered the pasuk alei shalikin moeschem alechem amayim ba'aderech betzeischem mimitzroyim. The reason why we hate the Ammonis and the Moabi so badly, when we came out from Mitzrayim and we had no food and no, and we begged them, go and sell us, give us, do it. No. So who is Darkish Elisha Kadim? Darkish Elisha Kadim. The ladies typically stay at home because kol kvud bas melech panima. The only ones that should have come out to be makdim melech lamayim are the menfolk, and so therefore like Darkish Elisha Kadim, hoylem le oh, period, and that's why the women are exempt from this isser of the leyavi Ammoni miyavi because there's no taina on them for not coming out with lechem amayim. So Doi continues his line of questioning. I agree with you that it's not the derech shel isha lekadim, but since among the ranks of Klal Yisrael we had both men and women, wouldn't it have been appropriate for the men to come out to be makdim, to be mekabel potim, the men, and give them food? And the ladies should go and give to the ladies. Wouldn't that be a great idea? And therefore, since they didn't, so l'chor the din of Ammoni Miyavi should encompass even the Ammonises and the Moyavises. Ishtik, oh, at this point, Avner had nothing else to answer. Mayavi Yemre Melech Shol, Yemre Melech, Sha'al Ata Ben Mizeh Ha'olem. So now he repeated his request, but previously he said, Sha'al, ask who happens to be Mizeh Ha'Nar, and now he's saying, Ben Mizeh Ha'olem. Of course, which are synonymous terms, elam and nar. So, frey timar hasam kareli nar, hachad kareli elam. Why? So, timar hachi ka'amalei, halacha nis'alma mimcha. This halacha has been nis'alma. In other words, we don't have clarity, because Avner is saying, amani v'le amonis, mayavali mayavis, and yet, doi gwadoimi has asked some very good questions, and ishtik. So, if you don't know the answer to it, go and try to find out not only whether he comes in Peretz or Zerach, but try to find out the answer to Doeg's challenge. Is he allowed to go and join the ranks of Klal Yisrael? Here, so what do you do? So he's told him, Tzei Shal B'Smedesh, go and ask by the Talmid Chacham. As he went back to B'Smedesh, Shal, Amrulein, they told him, Avner, you're right, Amoini v'lei Amoinis, Mayavi v'lei Mayavis. Actually, Doeg, Kolhani Kushiyasa. Then Doeg was on his tails, and he was there in the B'Smedesh, and he asked all the same kashas again. Are you going to say the same thing? Got me mamzer v'le mamzeres. Are you going to go and say mitzvah v'le mitzvahs? Are you going to tell me actually kid moeschem b'lechem amayim? The men should have gone to the men, and the ladies should have gone to the ladies. Ishtiku. They also were dumbfounded by all of these kashas, and they didn't know what to answer. And therefore, boy lachruzi alei. So they wanted to go and be machrus, make a public proclamation that David the Melech not only cannot be Melech, he can't even join Kohol. Miyad, and from that point on, right after that, the Amtsa ben Ish, Ushma Yisra, Yisraeli, etc., they came to go and defend the halacha of Ammoni v'le Ammonis, and Mitzvah, that part we're going to continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai, and Hatzlacha. Thank you all for joining. Brother Shai, how are you feeling?
Brother Shai, I'm getting better.
Did you think we might see you?